Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11T7.
Welcome, everyone. This episode of Level 11T7, we are in the bunker tonight discussing the next episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Tonight, the origin of Ghost Rider.
The Good Samaritan.
Yes, Good Samaritan is the name of the episode. My name is Jason Hunt. Sitting here at the table with me, Maya Aides.
Hello there.
And Mindy Inlow.
Hello.
And online, we've got Catherine Sanders.
Hello.
Sam Sentman.
Hello.
And Timothy Harvey.
Hello there.
And a few surprises tonight, a few twists.
I thought so.
And I thought we had a couple of moments where you kind of sit there and go, "Ooh, didn't see that coming."
Yeah.
I like that.
In fact, the whole ending.
There's that. Plus, there's the actual origin itself,
right?
Which was a nice. I mean, we had some.
Robbie's origin didn't surprise me a whole lot.
Compared to his actual origin of the comic book.
Oh, it is different.
It's different.
Okay.
And we'll get to that here in a little bit. So basically what we've got tonight is we've got the origin of Ghost Rider, and who's got plot notes? Mindy, oh, good
Mindy.
Night, Lord.
You've got Mindy's got, now, like,
those
tons.
Are just, those are just thoughts, other thoughts stuff? And stuff. Okay, so
she's writing poetry.
The basic gist of this, we've got three different things going on. Gemma gets sent off into Neverland.
Who knows where.
Somewhere for some secret mission. You guys remember the G.I. Joes, the 12-inch G.I. Joes, the
with
real
the
tall ones?
That actually had fuzzy hair.
I had one where you pull the string, and it says, "I've got a special assignment for you." And I thought about that when Jeffrey Mace pulled Gemma aside and says, "I've got a special assignment for you," and, you know, put the bag over her head and she's got to go. And I'm thinking, this goes back to what I said last week about how stupid he was bowing to this whole blackmail thing with Senator Nadir. He should have just sit there and said, "Oh, yeah, this all was part of a plan all along," right? Because he's a spin guy.
Yeah.
Well, we're seeing consequences of that, probably.
Yes.
With him sending Gemma off to do whatever, wherever.
Somewhere for who knows whom. Or...
Yeah, incommunicado.
Right now.
And then Jeffrey Mace goes in the Quinjet to meet up with the Zephyr. Because he's not too happy with Phil Coulson.
He's on a hunt.
So he's looking for Daisy and Robbie, who are in the containment module under the plane. And it was funny when Mace comes down and says, "You know, it's a wild goose chase," and Coulson says, "I have zero geese. We are geese free. We're goose free." It's like, yeah, that's Coulson. Coulson's still here.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have as many one-liners tonight. He didn't have.
No, but it wasn't the kind of storyline that I felt like really lent itself to that either. So, I think it would have been out of place if he'd had too many.
Yeah.
I don't know. My favorite is still Skull on Fire, Hail Satan thing.
Yes, that was so fun.
I think the discussion about Admiral Akbar, honestly, was one of the more.
Yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Well, the whole episode really kind of felt like it was not taking itself too seriously. Even though we're dealing with some darker elements in the story.
It was a very serious storyline, though.
The idea here that Joe and Lucy, all of the scientists, are trying to come up with a way of creating nothing out of creating something out of nothing, basically, you know, generating matter. And when you get into the flashbacks with Eli and the rest of the team, and you hear Joe talk about, you know, food shortages and, you know, helping people and just all this altruistic, you know, humanitarian stuff.
Right.
Like, these guys don't feel like they're twisting their mustaches that much. What? Something's up.
Right.
Something's fishy.
And I wasn't sure if that was sort of a bait and switch thing of, you know, putting on a good front. We're going to do all of this good for the world.
Well, and it could
but
very
actually,
well be.
We want
well,
this.
given the source of the Darkhold,
right.
It could very well be that these people, if they find this power, and oh, this is power that I can use to help people. And as they use it, the more they use it, the more corrupt it does. You know, the more it corrupts them, and they become evil, twisty mustache types. So I don't
think the dark side of the force.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly right. You know, hate leads to suffering. So it's one of those things where we're getting those scenes, and you see through the progression of the flashbacks back in the day. At least it wasn't 8 hours before, 3 days earlier.
You know they did that for you, right?
And I appreciate it. Well, at least, well, see, the thing about it is, though, we didn't start in the middle of an action set and right. jump back.
Right.
You know, this was an actual flashback, which is fine. And it does give us a progression of how the Darkhold corrupted Joe, and he started to kind of go a little bit off the rails, and all the rest of the science team, and then what happened. And then the twist at the end where, surprise, it's not actually Joe that's going through all of this stuff. It's Uncle Eli.
Yeah.
Who's mm-hmm. the real villain here. And that doubles back to Robbie's origin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because Eli was causing trouble. So Joe hires the Fifth Street Locos gang to kill Eli. And they go after the car.
Little did they know.
Yeah, Eli is not in the car. It's Robbie and Gabe. So they attack the car. They shoot out the car. Both of the kids are shot fairly dead.
Yeah.
And the car flips over. It catches fire. It's there on the bridge. And Gabe survives. And he looks over. And he sees Robbie on the ground dead. Except he's not. Some good Samaritan comes by on a motorcycle, pulls Gabe out of the wreckage, goes over and revives Robbie. Oh, good, he's not dead.
Yeah.
And now all of this is going on. All of the origin story is being told while Robbie and Gabe and Daisy are magnetically attached under the Zephyr, while Jeffrey and his crew are searching the plane upstairs. It was funny when they walked in. When they walked in on Fitz. And yes. Fitz is like, check under the tables. They could be under the tables.
Under the microscope.
Look under the microscope. That was so funny. And then, this idea that they were under the thing, and then Mace is like, do you think I'm stupid? You know, he hits the button, and he says, I've been in here plenty of times to notice that the containment module is not where it's supposed to be, you know. So he's not just a... He's not just a pretty face.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't. I wondered why they kept it underneath the plane and why they didn't just, put it down on the ground somewhere.
Plot?
Yeah. That was the only reason. Because when they did it, when they had it underneath the plane, the whole time I thought, well, why keep it there? Why not just, I mean, because then they're lying. Then they're lying to Mace. And if they had gotten it,
but he's not inside the plane.
No, he did say there was nobody inside the plane.
Nobody on the plane. Yeah, they're not on the plane.
But they were hiding them.
They were under the plane.
Technicality.
It is a technicality. And it's not. Do you know how many politicians get off on a technicality?
Don't even want to go there.
We're not even going to talk about that.
No.
Anyway, so
yeah,
so they pull the thing up, and then we have our fight between the Ghost Rider and Jeffrey Mace, the Inhuman, mm-hmm. who's super strong. And this is where Gabe finds out that Robbie is more than what he seems. Now, Robbie, Gabe this time has figured out that Robbie's a secret agent, and now that's cool, right?
Yes.
And Daisy is perpetuating that. You figured it out.
This.
But in the containment module, Robbie admits that this night that they died, or that he dies, the Good Samaritan that comes by was not exactly a Good Samaritan. Because when Robbie is up in the air after he got flipped out of the car, he says that he prayed to God and anybody
in the universe
for the chance to get even, to get back at the guys who killed his brother.
Well, and to keep Gabe alive.
Right.
So his plea was heard.
His plea was heard. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And lo and behold.
How fortuitous was that?
Last week, we saw when they finally found the Darkhold, when they found it in that barn, we saw all of those clues, the circus and all these different things that were related to Johnny Blaze. And tonight...
Here comes the motorcycle.
Here comes the motorcycle.
Yeah. Yep. And it was not on fire, though.
No, the motorcycle was not on fire, but Johnny Blaze was.
Yeah, he was.
And yes, we had an appearance by the original Ghost Rider in this episode, and that was really cool.
It was really cool.
When Curtis finally sees this, I was talking to him yesterday. I was like, you need to catch up,
mm-hmm.
because I had already seen the episode, and I told him, I said, you need to watch this next episode.
You're going
to
like it.
You will be happy. Couldn't tell him why.
Yeah.
But the idea of, well, see, the thing about it is, though, this introduces Johnny Blaze into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Granted, it's right. A cameo.
It does.
But, mm-hmm. and it's not like the CW with Hal Jordan, where it's just a guy walking across in a jacket that says Jordan. You know, they can't do that. But now we actually have had the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider, which yep. opens up all sorts of possibilities on what else we could do with it.
And conveniently, as just Ghost Rider and not as his normal face.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he can be cast.
Anybody can play him. That's right. So.
I'm crossing my fingers for Norman Reedus, honestly.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting casting, I think. Oh, speaking of casting.
Let's get that brooding going.
The woman who played Daisy's mother.
Yes, I saw her recently.
She showed up last night on Supergirl as Roulette. So she's crossed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's nice. Crossed over imprints.
Universes, yep.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Joe... That was Doctor Doom.
Hmm?
Wasn't it?
Joe, what, huh? What?
Not Joe. No, the doctor. The guy who played the lead doctor in the experiments?
No, we're talking about the woman. Doom?
No, that wasn't Jesse Martin. I know who you're talking. You're talking about the guy who played Dr. Stone. Not Stone. Johnny Storm. Storm. Why did I say Stone?
I don't know. I can't help you there.
Probably because I wanted to throw a rock at that movie. Now I can't remember who that was. We'll have to look it up during the break. But yeah, it was a different actor playing the dad in that film. But yeah, she showed up last night as Roulette on a pretty good episode of Supergirl. Better than, I actually thought it was better than last week.
Hmm.
Last week, kind of preachy. But this is not the podcast where we talk about those shows.
Exactly.
You know, for that, you can listen to the Rogues Gallery podcast. I'll get a plug in there. So, so that's the basic plot as I throw the microphones across the studio here.
Yeah.
Let's go around for reactions from everyone.
Okay. All right, I'll start. you're looking at me, and I am in the room.
You just happen to be my eye line.
Yeah.
So, you know,
okay. I really liked this episode, and what I liked about it was that I didn't see everything coming, particularly the ending with Uncle Eli. That threw me for a surprise. I wasn't expecting that. I'm also, the way it ended, I'm not sure exactly what happened. You know, it's possible that some of our characters are gone now, and I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. There was the
shockwave. You
know, Praxis exploded.
Yeah.
And there was the shockwave. Mm-hmm. And
Eli comes out of the whatever that chamber is and has some kind of matter that he can
now
levitate it.
He can now he can actually now create matter out of nothing.
By himself.
Right.
Yes. He can, instead of...
Which is, this is what's going to tie
what
in...
what they were
Yeah,
wanting.
This is how it's going to tie into Doctor Strange. Because it's all quantum physics
thing.
Magic stuff. So, but I think...
That's freaky.
I wonder... could Coulson and Fitz and Mac... be in the microverse at this point? Or where do we think they could be? And if they are, how do we get them back?
Pym particles.
I haven't heard if Paul Rudd's going to do a guest shot.
So how many of our main? How many of our characters are gone? There's Fitz,
Fitz, Coulson, and
Mac
are all gone.
What about Robbie?
I don't know.
Robbie was down below.
Right.
With Lucy.
He's going to be a mini Ghost Rider.
I would suspect that Robbie is not going to be affected by whatever happened because of the
way Ghost Rider thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That probably protects him.
I wonder, so since Coulson's arm is not, you know, he has the
organic
prosthetic. Yeah. Uh-huh. I wonder if it's left on the floor.
I didn't see it.
I didn't either, but I also didn't see everywhere where our characters had been.
Right, but the obvious implication of those shots they're completely empty.
Yeah.
So I would expect his arm went with him.
Well, that's convenient for him.
I somehow missed that part. I discovered.
At the very, very, very end.
Yeah.
There was the blast.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
The wave that went...
And then you saw the control room where Fitz had been, and there's no Fitz.
Right.
Fitz is gone.
Oh, I missed the no Fitz part.
Mac is gone. Coulson's gone.
I assumed they were gone, but I didn't really.
They're gone.
Remember the shot that
it just
specifically
seemed to, like,
told
knock
us
May
that they
and
were
everybody
gone.
Else over.
Yeah. Well, they were outside.
Yeah, they were outside, and as
far enough away,
because the blast goes through, mm-hmm. and then we cut to outside where it doesn't quite get out. Very far,
yeah.
Knocks them all down, and then we come back inside, and all of the rooms are empty. And then Eli comes out of the chamber and is able to do his alchemy.
Yeah.
Okay, I just kind of assumed that everybody had been knocked down because there was all of those rooms
they're gone.
Tables that they could have been behind.
They're gone.
They could be.
They're
they could
vanished.
Well, they're not dead.
They're mostly dead.
Not dead yet.
Well, okay. See, because okay, so. The containment pods, you know, those containment modules that are off to the side that the ghosts were stored in. What are the odds that Mac and Fitz and Coulson are in those boxes now and they're ghosts?
Probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
50-50.
I'd say probably pretty high.
Oh, they're going to be so upset.
Oh, no kidding. Right? All right. So what thoughts from anybody else? Maya's talked. I've interrupted. That's what I do.
I liked the episode, even though I had a little bit of issue with it, starting and so forth. But I liked how it moved very fast. It was like, oh, here's this, boom, here's this, boom. And you weren't left hanging. And even though they're telling different stories and the backstories mm-hmm. and, you know, all that at the exact same time, you don't feel kind of left. I didn't feel like I was left hung out at any point.
I like the way we got both Robbie and Gabe's side of that their story.
Because Gabe has this great remembering of, oh, he's alive and this and that, and it's almost
hero worship at this point.
Yeah,
it is. And they had said even with when they were describing both him and Robbie. Someone said something about Gabriel being the angel, and Robbie turned around. Actually, it's the other one,
right?
And like their storytelling,
the confrontation with Lucy at the end where she realizes this is one of Eli's nephews.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
And she thinks it's Gabe.
Yes,
and she calls him the angel.
Yep,
and Robbie's like, no.
I'm the other one. Yeah.
And so their storytelling about, you know, the accident is kind of that whole same aspect of breaking
down. It mirrored that, yeah.
Well, and I think that's one of the things where if you're writing two different time periods, and this is something that I complain about with Arrow sometimes, because Arrow, the flashbacks to Arrow are either really, really, really on point, and they bring us the moral of the story just in time for Oliver to learn it 5 years later, or they're completely useless, like last week. I don't need to start. And one of the things where if you're bopping back and forth between time periods, the really critical part in the writing of that is the flow from one to the next.
Right.
If you're going
to transition,
because the setup for the backstory, the setup for the flashback is in the modern time. And I think you're right. I think this episode did pretty well in, you know, Eli would say something or somebody would say something and it would take us back to that point in the flashback. And it was rather smooth how it went back and forth between the two time periods.
And this episode, this was like the aha. You're like, now I see where you lie.
And we've got 2 weeks to wait to find out what happens. But in the meantime, see, the thing about it is, though, if they do what I think they're going to do with tying in with Doctor Strange, this actually works. Because that's almost 2 weeks for people to see Doctor Strange before coming back to an episode.
It works perfectly for them.
Yeah, it does. Because if they're able to, now again, a lot of this comes down to the writing and how much they know ahead of time going into Doctor Strange, how much they can connect it to Doctor Strange, maybe we'll get more than one episode
that connects
to the movie.
Well, that would be a first.
Yeah, because the Thor episode was one episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all we got. I don't know. Tim, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot, but there were a few things that did bug me. I really, really enjoyed the fact that we completely, without making a big deal about it, opened up another Ghost Rider, which actually is a fairly large deal. And expands the metaphysical side of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. considerably.
Yeah.
I really liked. I still don't have a whole lot of sense of what the heck the Darkhold is supposed to be in this universe, because they kind of talk around what they learned from it this episode. We got the most information about what's in the book. Except we didn't really get any information about what's in the book.
Quantum and stuff.
And the, you know, this enables us to do this. How? Is it a spell? Is it, you know, you're actually combining two very distinct things. You're just combining magic and technology. And maybe we're going to get more of this because I think Fitz would have just a field day, you know, trying to figure this out. But, you know, there's a whole lot of, you know, the book is changing us and things, except that, you know, oddly enough, we have a horror story here that we're seeing tiny pieces of, which is very odd.
Well, that goes back to our discussion from the first couple of episodes where there was, you know, with the introduction of Ghost Rider, the cinematography we had talked about before, having a little bit more of a horror film characteristic. So maybe that's deliberate.
But when you look at like horror storytelling, you know, and yes, I'm aware that you know S.H.I.E.L.D. is not a horror series, but when you introduce, you know, the demonic tome of doom, you kind of have to explain what the demonic tome of doom does.
Or
and
not.
Oddly enough, they really haven't done that.
Maybe you don't have to. Maybe you just leave it a mystery of its own.
I agree with you. I'm a little bit like, come on, give me some details, you know.
Yeah,
show
but
me
by
desire.
Not knowing.
That bothered me. And again, that's something that they may bring in, you know, later. I kind of hope they do, because otherwise it just feels like we don't really know what to do with this thing. And so we're just going to go, evil book, evil, and expect that to be the answer. And I'm like, no. But at the same time, considering they've killed off all but one of the characters who used the book, and he's not going to survive very long. He's not going to be turned into the big bad for the season. I mean, maybe he will, but I don't see it.
Unless...
So I think we're going to, I question whether or not we're going to get a whole lot of actual answer here.
Well, unless he doesn't become the villain for this season for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they set him up to be the beginning, the villain for the first season of Ghost Rider. Maybe this is an extended spinoff pilot.
I don't want that, because then it's the same problem over on Luke Cage. It's the family member, it's the, you know, the, I have to fight family. Oh, no! You know? I mean, I did find out the kid who plays Gabe, to some degree, is just as awful as he was over on Zero.
Where do you know that kid from?
He's really good. And this is not a slight on the actor, but this is the second role I've seen him cast as somebody I just want to smack.
Which is just something much Robbie's morality pet in the comics, at least.
Well, and I think
so. Seeing him being this bitter and jaded is.
Yeah, on one hand, I completely get the, you know, I don't want you to put the blood of these people on me. I did not ask for this.
Yeah,
I did not ask for you to avenge me. I get that. But
me too.
It's the whole, you know, it's like he's willfully not understanding what his brother is going through.
Yeah.
And
on the other hand, he's just now learning what his brother is going through.
Well,
yeah, I know. And it's but the thing is that we've after spending a season and a half suffering through the character of Chris on Fear the Walking Dead, played by this actor. The one character I was actively rooting to be eaten by zombies and or get shot by a living person. I don't care. I just wanted him to die. Because the character was so awful. Every moment where it felt like he was, you know, reacting oddly to me, just brought that all back. And so I went from liking him as Gabe to going, oh, this horrible kid. And that's not fair, but that's just what happened. Now, the question I have is about the director. Because...
You talking about Jeffrey Mace?
No.
No? Or the director of...
Yeah.
Director of the episode or director of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No. Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because, honestly, there's zero reason for him to actually fly out the Coulson's plane himself.
Yeah.
I think he's up to something.
Well, I'm trying to figure this character out because... You know, his role in the comics and his role here are obviously different, but he's playing a character that exists in the comic universe. And it still feels like we have a whole lot about him that we just don't know.
Right,
yeah.
And that feels a little... On one hand, that's good. I mean, we don't need all of our characters explained down to the T all the time. But... It also it feels a little, I don't understand enough about him yet to judge his decisions. And so the decisions that he's making make me wonder why anybody would put this guy in charge.
I thought the same thing.
Well, now you remember though the discussion that he had with Coulson at the very beginning of all of this, the reason why he's in charge is because he's a face. It doesn't have anything to do with capability. It's strictly PR. Because they couldn't get Steve Rogers.
Except in the real world, nobody does that.
Well, I know that, but
that's
you know,
what you have, that's what you have PR people and spokesmen for.
Don't
well,
stare.
I mean, there
don't
was that
stare
scene
too
where
hard.
Had the
comic
PR
book
guy
book.
Trying to spin it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the idea that you would put someone in a charge of an agency that is as tarnished as S.H.I.E.L.D. was, who's someone who is just a pretty face or the right face for the media, is a terrible argument.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any, it actually makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, he hasn't made sense since he showed up, in my opinion.
All things considered, we could have gotten more of first season shenanigans. So
and we haven't.
I wouldn't look that gift horse in the mouth yet.
Right. Well,
and I know, but it's
don't
it's,
go back there. Don't go there, Sam. Don't go there.
Sorry,
Tim. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. It's just there are enough things that. There are enough things the show can do wrong on its own without adding to it. I mean, you know, it's for all the fact that we went through a lot of last season talking about how much better it was, I do think that, you know, when you have something where it just feels out of place or it feels like something isn't right, it's just, you know, it's standing out a lot. So I don't know. I mean, it's not like this is terrible. What's wrong with S.H.I.E.L.D.? It's just odd. It's just really, really odd.
Catherine, what do you think about it?
Oh, I mean, I really did love the backstory and how they like adjusted it for the TV show. And you just really feel like, I mean, obviously it came through in the comics too, but you also just really feel Robbie's, you know, desperation and you know, it was really, it just really sucks for both of us. I'm like, oh, this just, nah, you didn't deserve this, man. I probably, it's also, yeah, the Admiral Akbar explanation and like, I mean, it was really good because, like you guys said, it was really fast. But like, I agree that stuff needs to be explained. Like, I really want that book to be explained. Like, if it really is like such this horrible thing, and being a ghost is such a horrible existence, I really want to see that more developed. Like, I feel this episode really set a whole bunch of stuff up. Excited to see it. It's just it wasn't explained in this episode, so.
Well, we did get a couple of clues tonight, and we will talk about that after the break, because when I heard these things, I was like, "Oh, there's an Agent Carter connection." Mm-hmm. That's very nice.
And of course, Johnny Blaze.
Yeah. Yes. So we will talk about those, and we will get into some speculations and ruminations about what's going to happen next. When Level 117 continues right after we get coffee. Stand by.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Until you unsubscribe in a sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Behind the scenes tidbits, production notes, casting, news, games, toys, reviews, interviews. We've got a little bit of everything. Plus, you can sound off with your thoughts and comments. And who knows, you might be in our next episode. Star Wars news, we call it Salacious Crumbs, and you can check out new episodes only on Sci-Fi for Me TV.
I'm meteorologist Brian Busby. If you're traveling to a convention this weekend, especially if you're a cosplayer, it helps to know what the weather's going to be like. Rain and fur don't mix very well, now do they? That's why every week Sci-Fi for Me gives you the weather forecast for every city hosting a convention. Those we have on our list anyway, and that's worldwide, not just in the United States. It's part of our commitment to bring you content you won't find anywhere else. Just click on the Conventions tab over at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio, because it's the second best invention in the history of the world.
Back on Level 117, we are talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I have neglected a member of the staff.
It's okay. You did it to me 2 weeks ago when you didn't let me give my closing thought.
You know, I do that sometimes.
But then he let you pick two 1 week.
That's true. That's right. Yes. Okay. So, Sam, your reactions to the plot for tonight, sir. You just keep talking. You keep talking, and I'll eat my brownie.
All right. Let's bring brownies.
Mm.
One of the things that stuck out was what's the director up to? Because he seems like he's kind of, aside from that little scene at the end of last week's episode in the limousine, there seems to be something, some duality to him that's becoming more apparent.
I thought he'd be stronger than he was. I was surprised how the fight went down with he and Robbie.
Ghost Rider's got supernatural strength. So
yeah,
they were evenly
matched.
But I expected, and I didn't see any blood on Jeffrey. Did anybody see any blood on him? I didn't see any blood on Jeffrey.
No.
Either one of them, actually.
No, neither of them. The twist with Uncle Eli didn't surprise me too much, because the end of that last episode, when he saw the book, he kind of got that weird gleam in his eye.
Yes, it's true.
So, I really liked seeing the original Ghost Rider pass it, or whether he's passing it on to Robbie or just inducting him into the fold. That scene was really awesome.
How did that feel to everybody? Did that feel like Johnny was passing on a piece of the power of the Spirit of Vengeance? Because did he have the blazing head when he drove away on the motorcycle? Did anybody notice? Did we see that?
We didn't see that part.
All right. I would say he probably just shared a little bit. Because I don't think that's something. That's something you can just pass on and get rid of.
Oh.
Originally,
I thought that's what he was doing was, you know, here, I'm getting rid of it. It's kind of like cooties, you know, you give it to somebody else.
Tag it.
You know, kind of like the Man with the Green Lantern type of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think he was passing it on, which means we get to see him again sometime. Right?
Looking forward to
that. That's the idea.
It. Yeah.
As many Ghost Riders as possible. Bring in.
he'll show up in the Ghost Rider spin-off series.
You think there's going to be a spin-off series?
Well, that's the, I guess. Has anybody heard anything official about that, or are we just speculating?
No, we're speculating. Okay. So we were talking a few weeks ago when we were going into the idea there was a comparison. Somebody had written down and comparing the way that the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies Phase 1 had played out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Captain America, the First Avenger, Thor, Iron Man 3, Avengers.
Right.
And then you look at the way that the Netflix series have played out. Daredevil Season 1. What came after that?
Jessica Jones,
Daredevil Season 2. So basically, the way that the Netflix series have been released have followed a similar pattern to the movies, and that way, and everybody was using that to project through the Defenders. So that has people speculating what Phase 2 is going to be, because we know we're going to get another season of Jessica Jones. We know we're going to get another season of Daredevil. We know we're going to get the Punisher. So there's another series, maybe two, that would be part of Phase 2.
All on Netflix.
Now, one possibility
is
Hellcat.
They're not doing any more on regular broadcast TV?
Not at the moment.
Yeah.
No. So one possibility is Hellcat.
Mm-hmm.
One possibility is Ghost Rider.
Yep.
I'm still holding out for She-Hulk.
Yep. I know you are. Every week.
But other than that, okay. You know, there's not.
I'm with you on the She-Hulk, because I think that would be such a hoot.
That would be pretty awesome.
It would be. So, but yeah, the speculation. I think that we have an excellent possibility of a Ghost Rider series, because the numbers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have held pretty steady this season. So,
yeah,
one of my trick or treaters last night might have been Squirrel Girl.
Agent Carter kind of tanked, unfortunately. So that makes me a little thinks.
Except
they might be a little leery about putting that doing a spinoff on a network television now,
right?
Into Netflix,
and they didn't do the two agents that were supposed to have their own spinoff. The
Marvel's Most Wanted.
Yeah,
with Mockingbird and Hunter. Although the reason that that series did not go forward is because ABC got a new president.
And he said, "Nix nix."
And Paul Bell was the one that was going after that series, and then he was gone. And the new guy came in and decided they weren't going to do it.
Putting comic book series on network television, I think, or broadcast television for that matter, is that it takes so much time to keep up with them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, just like comics, you've got all these different backstories and side stories, and all they all interweave. And, you know, people have enough trouble trying to watch one television show on a Tuesday night, and then you put the next television show on a Sunday night where it's up against, you know, the six most popular television shows in the nation right now. It's a little hard to do that with comic book shows, I think. And I think that's why they've had much more success on Netflix than they do on broadcast television.
I think you're right. I think the binge watching does definitely help with that.
I think the benefit to Netflix is you can choose whenever you want to watch it, even more so than DVR.
Right, you don't have to because I don't have a DVR.
Right,
so like
not
if
everybody
I miss
does.
Walking Dead, I got to wait a week, and when I'm on the road like I am now, I'm on the road for a month. So when I get back to The Walking Dead, the episodes that that just aired won't be in my on demand.
I have,
and so
I have a VCR.
What's that?
I have a VCR. I have a VCR. I taped The Flash tonight, so I can watch it later. Because I got to write recaps on it, but I taped it on my VCR.
It still works.
I'm in a hotel room in.
We have one too.
Pennsylvania right now. The VCR doesn't work.
I remember when my friend would tape anime for me because I couldn't stay up that late on VCR the next day. Good times.
Okay. I remember going down to the video store and renting a VCR because.
Oh, yeah.
Most people didn't own one, and they came in the indestructible cases that you could throw off
some of them,
balcony.
And
not that I'm saying we ever did.
Some of them were Betamax.
Yes.
Oh, the days of Betamax.
Okay, now that we've all dated ourselves.
Because nobody else will. All right, so speaking of Agent Carter.
Yes.
Let's get to that for a second because they had the mention of Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm. Which well, they talked about her directly.
It tickled my head. I know, but I'm going to it.
I'm sorry.
So Aes Sedai, the mention of Aes Sedai tickled my head. I was like, wait a minute, I've heard that. Wait. Where have I heard that before? I've heard that. And then they go through that Aes Sedai got bought by Roxxon. I thought, okay, good. We're getting Roxxon into the universe a little bit better.
See, Roxxon definitely threw up the flag for me.
Definitely. And then...
Yeah, me too.
And this goes back to what we had talked about earlier when they first mentioned the Darkhold, the fact that this ties in with dark matter stuff that Whitney Frost was messing around with in Agent Carter.
Right.
So this gets us back to...
I was like, ha, I called it.
Yeah. Which
Whitney
means...
Whitney Frost?
Which means...
Yes.
We may get a Peggy Carter flashback.
With new material?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why not.
Or just, you know, flashback with stuff that they already had.
No, well, at some point between when Whitney Frost went crazy...
Mm-hmm.
And now...
That was pretty darn early when she went crazy.
That's a long time. So you've got all of that time that maybe somebody might have looked into this. You know, what happened to that zero matter, that dark matter, that whatever. And, you know, we get some sort of a scene. It's not going to be a lot. But maybe we just get that one flash where somebody's path crossed somebody's path and, oh, hey, there's Peggy. And, you know, we just get that one moment because Conviction is not doing very well.
Uh-oh.
It's on the bubble. Uh-oh. So more than likely, she's going to be ready to work back in the universe that loves her.
Her hiatus is over.
Yeah. And that raises the possibility of what chances would there be that we'd get Agent Carter season 3
Yeah.
On Netflix instead.
Oh.
Maybe Netflix picks it up. Or since Freeform is going to do, are they doing Cloak and Dagger? Freeform has Cloak and Dagger. Who's got Runaways?
What?
MTV.
Freeform has Cloak and Dagger.
Freeform has Cloak and Dagger. Who's got Runaways? I think MTV has Runaways. MTV's developed, or Hulu.
I don't know.
I think it's Hulu. Hulu's going to develop
the
Runaways.
We are talking Cloak and Dagger, the comic book.
Yes. Characters. Yes. Freeform is going to have Cloak and Dagger. So, since Freeform is the is teens and tweens and 20-something women.
Speaking of Runaways, apparently Nico Monroe's mom is in Doctor Strange.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So they're going to open that up.
I spotted her in the trailer. She was holding the Staff of One.
So they're going to open that up.
Yep.
Interesting. But Freeform could be a new home for Peggy Carter as well. Because it's similar to what
that's another station.
Freeform, ABC Family.
I don't get those.
ABC things. Family used to, well, Freeform used to be ABC Family.
Okay.
It's where Catherine's show,
I know, but I can't get
Shadowhunters is. Like Supergirl, when they moved from CBS to CW. Well, the expectations for the audience size change with the network that it's on. So Freeform, 2-3 million is...
Good.
Really good. Yeah. So maybe we're looking at a situation where if Conviction gets canceled... And if there's a way to tie in Peggy Carter to this series, this current season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe that jumpstarts a third season, and it goes on to another network. Although I don't know, we might get Young Justice before we get Agent Carter.
I think we will probably get Young Justice before we get Agent Carter. I actually don't think we're going to get a third season of Agent Carter.
Me neither. I don't think we're going to get a third season either.
You think it's because of the numbers, Tim?
I think the numbers probably have something to do with it. I think also that it's really hard. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, but it's really hard to bring back a show once it's not been renewed and it hasn't been. I mean, there are certain shows that, obviously do it.
Hey, they brought back Full House.
MacGyver.
Dude,
But how long in between when it went off the air?
Well, see, when they bring back Agent Carter, Haley won't have to have the age makeup. They just catch her at the age wherever she is, and that's the age that Peggy is wherever they bring the show back, and that's the time period they're in.
Okay, but Jason, as lovely an idea as it would be to bring it back, it doesn't come with the audience love outside of a relatively narrow band of fans.
But that Netflix has a tendency to pick some of that stuff up.
Yeah,
but Netflix has their own set of things to deal with right now, and there's no good reason right now. As much as I would love to have it happen, there's no good reason for them to add her in at this point.
Okay,
if they were going to do it, they would have sat there and went, hey, we're going to do it, and they could have told us they were going to do it and then pushed it back as long as they wanted to.
Well, let me throw this out there. Since we just got an announcement last week that Machinima and Universal, ABC Universal, are reviving Knight Rider as a web series. What would be the possibility of reviving Agent Carter as an online thing? Because look at what they're doing with Star Trek. Star Trek Discovery is going to be on CBS All Access. What is that? That's online on demand. And that's going to be first run. That's not syndicated. That's not, we've got all this library of shows. Somebody's got to watch it. Let's watch it. This is all first run. So the Knight Rider revival, Star Trek Discovery, what would an online Agent Carter look like?
Anything as long as it's better than Knight Rider 2000.
All right. First of all, the new Knight Rider series is doomed to fail. I'm sorry. It's just doomed to fail.
But Pontiac will release a new Trans Am and it'll be awesome.
Some shows don't work outside of their cultural moment. We are no longer a culture that loves the sports car, muscle car. We don't have that whole mindset that we had when that show was on the air. Not to mention the fact
that you can only bank on nostalgia so much.
My phone is smarter than Kit.
That was exactly what I was about to say.
Right? So I mean so leaving that aside.
Although mine's not smart enough to know punctuation.
We also only because the only reason Kit did was because he had a British accent.
Exactly.
And of course that just goes without saying. But I will be happily proven wrong. But I think that as much as we would love to have another Agent Carter series, we're not going to get it.
Yep.
You know, no studio is going to look at Agent Carter's numbers and say, we need to throw money into this. They're just not.
Well, no, that's
unfortunate, and because it's a good show, but it's just not practical. And we know all too well that the people who do these things look at it from a money standpoint.
Of course they do. They have to.
And because they, you know, for all that it should be art, we know that it's about the dollar. So, I mean, I would love to have more Agent Carter. The odds decreased immensely from the moment they announced the show was not getting another season, and nobody announced they were picking it up, and they're just getting lesser day by day.
Yeah.
Now,
we're
that
making
said,
you depressed.
Yeah. Stop. But honestly, the thing is that if Netflix is the only place I think it could end up at this point.
Yeah,
and
that's
the thing is that Netflix model right now has these shows being able to be linked together and have characters cross over and tie into a larger thing. And Agent Carter doesn't fit that model.
Yeah.
There's no way to talk. You can have
cameos. It
doesn't
cross over with the other ones that are on right now.
You're not going to be able to have a whole series.
Well, 40 years apart.
Yeah, I know. But I was just trying to think if there's any.
Yeah, no, there's no. Yeah, there's no. Tim's right. There's no way that they could cross them over because of the
time. Not unless they were looking through a history book and saw something that happened in her time era.
A time viewer. That's what they need. They need a time viewer. Oh, wait, wrong show.
Do Magic Treehouse style.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Borrow the Wave Rider. Oh, wait.
Also
wrong
sure.
show.
Wait.
So Peggy Carter is probably not coming back
at all
in a regular capacity. We do know that she's coming back to the animated series. She's going to be over on the Avengers animated series. So we're still going to have Hayley Atwell as Peggy Carter in various different incarnations, however long they decide they've got things that they can do with the character.
Mm-hmm. That's always good.
So maybe instead of since we don't get a third season of Agent Carter, maybe we get, like I said, Agent Carter flashbacks that tie in to the Darkhold somehow.
Maybe there'll be an Agent Carter movie.
If they brought her over, that would be great.
An Agent Carter movie?
Yeah.
Right after they do the Black Widow movie, you mean?
Yeah.
Budapest. I still want to see
Budapest. It'll be right after the second Firefly movie.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I Well, see, and there we still get rumblings every now and again about a Black Widow movie. And, you know, Scarlett Johansson even said not, what, 3 weeks ago or something, they're still talking about it.
Hmm.
The problem, the challenge, is the ticking clock. Because yeah. the older Scarlett Johansson gets,
mm-hmm.
the fewer types of stories you can tell with her character. Because
yeah, as far as an origin story, you'd have
yeah,
to go... I
mean, you wouldn't be able to do an origin story.
You'd have to go back to like 17.
Yeah, if you did Budapest, and if you go maybe another 5 years and you could still do Budapest. But you go any further past that, Scarlett Johansson, you know, for all the fact that she's, what, 30?
Yeah.
And not getting any older, but she's getting older.
Yeah.
And the physicality of the character
right.
is such that at some point she's not going to be able to do all of the stunt work and get it all, you know, do everything that she can do now. Also, the fact that the older she gets, she's going to look older.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can definitely see a difference between mm-hmm. Iron Man 2 and Avengers 2.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you wait until she's done and then roll back and do the Black Widow origin story with a new actor? Or do you give her the solo movie, trilogy, whatever... wherever she is in age at that point in her career and let that be the Black Widow movies? Or do we just get one and done, or do we never get a Black Widow movie?
I mean, I think, you know, right now where she's at in between the big Avengers storylines, give her a story in there. I'm sure there's more going on in the comics than just what was going on with the Avengers.
Well, unfortunately, there just isn't room.
I mean,
there doesn't appear to be room in the current lineup for a Black Widow movie. At least, you know, if they're sticking to their current, you know, these are when these films are coming out.
Yeah.
This is the grand plan they've announced. And as much as I would love for there to be one, because quite frankly, the character should have one. And Scarlett, and
yeah.
We've talked about a bazillion times the fact that studios just needed to get over the, you know, the fear of having a female-led mm-hmm. superhero film.
Yeah,
I mean, this is one where DC is beating Marvel hands down. With Wonder Woman.
Here's what I think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think Wonder Woman is going to be the first DC movie that everybody likes.
because I like Batman Begins.
Because well, I mean, in the current crop, in the Snyderverse, this is going to be the first DC movie that everybody likes because Geoff Johns has had his hands on it, and given the fact that it's Wonder Woman and it's the first Wonder Woman movie,
mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
going to do gangbusters at the box office,
and
immediately after that. Say the second week of Wonder Woman being in the theaters, that's when Marvel is going to announce they're rearranging their schedule. Because I guarantee, because this is something we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
They have announced Captain Marvel. We know we're getting Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
But you remember what I said then? If Wonder Woman tanks, then Captain Marvel's the only one we're going to get with a female lead. If Wonder Woman does really, really well, then that changes up. And whether it's Phase 4 or if it's pieces of Phase 3 they shift around,
mm-hmm.
they're all looking at Wonder Woman to mm-hmm. see what it's going to do. I guarantee you that's what they're waiting on. Feige is not a stupid man. He's going
I hope
to sit
they don't
there
screw this up.
Because he's because they got a deal. Because, well, you remember, too, now... Ike Perlmutter and the creative group doesn't have anything to do with the movies anymore.
Yeah,
it's Feige talking to Alan Horn at Disney. And Feige said, I'm not dealing with Ike. I don't want to deal with these guys. These guys are interfering. This is one of the reasons why Avengers Ultron had problems, is because you had too many cooks in the kitchen interfering with how things go. And Feige yeah. sat there and said, all right, look, I'm the guy. I'm going to talk to the Disney guy. We don't need any other guys. And
two guys. That's all we need. Two guys.
I think now because Feige is also a producer on the Spider-Man movies, the new ones, with Amy Pascal, and, you know, doing all of this stuff with the Sony stuff. Kevin Feige is the one that's looking at all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can almost guarantee you that he's got one eye on Wonder Woman and is going to look at the box office for the first 2 weeks.
And see what it does.
Yeah. Because Batman vs. Superman, first weekend, blew through the roof. Second weekend, 83% drop-off. People hated it.
With good reason.
And
Wonder Woman was the only good part about that whole movie.
Right. Which is why people are sitting there going, okay, if Wonder Woman does really well, I can almost tell you now, if Wonder Woman does really well and has legs, box office.
She's got legs.
She's got legs. But if the movie has legs, Marvel will pull the trigger on Black Widow. I'm calling it now.
Okay.
Because
they wouldn't wait so
because that
long
discussion is still there. People still ask about it. People mm-hmm. are still talking mm-hmm. about it. It's all percolating, and yep. this thing has gone for so long simmering.
Right.
That oh, when man, they with, do with finally this, announce it. Yeah.
You know, when they put Captain America on Black Widow's bike.
Oh yeah.
You'd think that they may have been like, oh, maybe we should make a Black Widow movie, guys. People may want to see that.
People do want to see it.
They do.
Well, see, yes. And Feige knows people want to see it. And Scarlett Johansson knows they want to see it. And everybody at Marvel knows that they want to see it. Now they just got to figure out how to do it. And they have to make the suits believe that it will make money. And in order to do that, they have to be able to point at Wonder Woman and say, see?
They did it.
They can. It can be done.
They
and
like
we've been
it.
Doing we've been doing these movies better than DC, and DC's got a hit. What do you think ours is going to do?
Yeah,
what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They're going to use comparative analysis,
right?
And they're going to say, you know, if DC can do this, we're going to blow the doors off with Black Widow. That's what they're waiting on.
Well, what they need to do is just find somebody like Ryan Reynolds, just be like, listen, we're just going to do this film.
Well,
just spend fire. Just pitch it. We're doing it.
Yeah,
I'll back it. Let's do it.
Does Disney have any? A long time ago, Disney had Buena Vista.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Touchstone. Yes. They had Touchstone mm-hmm. Pictures. They had Buena Vista. What? They had all of these different divisions.
Miramax, right? Dimension.
Miramax. Yeah, Dimension. What if Black Widow comes out as a Dimensions film?
I don't know if Dimension's even around anymore.
Are they?
Dimension's not even around anymore.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, okay, but here's the problem. Is
Bad Robot is.
The difference between Deadpool and making a Deadpool movie on a low budget, where you can get creative and sit there and say, we're not going to have any guns in the last scene because we can't afford them.
We're all out of blanks, guys. We're all out of blanks. Just use swords.
And so we're going to have him forget his gun. That solves the budget problem. That's actually what happened.
Okay. That was
actually oh, my gosh.
Because they couldn't afford to use, you know, that, so it's like, okay, we have to find out a way to basically have him forget his guns so we don't even have the guns in the final scene.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did not
also,
know that.
Also, that's why they changed Negasonic's powers, is because they wanted her and Cannonball, but they couldn't afford another actor, so like, let's just give her Cannonball's powers.
You okay. can do that with Deadpool, because the important part about Deadpool is the body count,
yes.
and because you have to have lots and lots of death, but you also have to have a very, very funny dialogue.
Yes.
Funny dialogue.
And luckily, dialogue doesn't cost a lot.
Right.
Funny dialogue
is
very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is have one good script and one good actor, and you're good.
Well, see, the thing, but is
with Black Widow movie.
Yeah, but Black Widow doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be a superhero movie. It's a Bourne film.
Well, but the problem is that look at what Bourne cost.
Yeah.
Okay. Bourne was not actually a cheap movie.
No.
And
how much was the first one? Because the first one was cheaper than the other two, weren't they?
Probably. Well, that's usually how it goes.
Sure. and I'm afraid I don't know off the top of my head, but you're looking, you're, Black Widow is, leaving aside a superhero film, it's a spy movie.
Right.
And
right.
Spy movies require car chases, exotic locations, and lots of gunplay.
And all lots of technology.
All of which is expensive.
Green screen. You could do exotic locations with green screen.
They do the exotic locations in Budapest. Yeah, they do it in Romania.
Well, that's kind of a war zone right now.
Just shoot the whole thing in Romania.
Right?
Because that's where they do everything now.
Yeah.
Or Toronto.
They or Kansas City.
They do the exteriors
Toronto
in Romania.
Sweden, Ireland.
No, they shoot the exotic location exteriors in Romania. They shoot all the interiors in Toronto. Vancouver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? They'll just borrow the sets from the CW shows. Excuse me, can we borrow
we need a Palmer science tech? Lair. Can you know, we can we have that?
Steve Palmer tech for a week, please. Okay. I'm gonna interrupt for just a second right now because we're recording this on Tuesday evening.
Yes.
I just posted on our Instagram a photograph of the plate of brownies that we have here while we're recording.
Well, we had now.
Yes, the brownies are gone now because I make good brownies.
They're not in Pennsylvania.
And I get a little ping.
Brownie free here in Pennsylvania.
From Instagram.
Yes.
That photograph of the brownies was liked by Adam Carolla.
Oh.
I kid you not.
What's not to like about brownies?
I know, but oh, what a surprise. Adam Carolla just liked my photograph of brownies.
Wait. You guys are going to make me break in my badge from the bag of the hurt.
Completely random, awesome. Out of the blue. Yeah, so just thought I would share that.
All right.
So Tuesday's not right all bad.
No. Get my Hershey bag.
All right, go get your Hershey bag. We are going to now get into, let's see, how much time do we have? We have a minute and a half left.
Our talk about Budapest. That's what happened.
Well, we talked about the show. We talked about the episode. We talked about what we expect to see, what we were surprised about, and all of that. So I think we're good here. And we were talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And how we're hoping that they will finally get around to making Black Widow.
Yes. Next week, with it being circus time, we're not going to have an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we will instead discuss Doctor Strange. So we will have an episode next week where we talk about the new movie, which is out this weekend, and hopefully everybody will get a chance to go see it. I know the Planet Comic Con guys are arranging a early screening here in Kansas City that we may go to, or just catch it over the weekend as we're able to. But those of you who are regular listeners, be sure to go see the movie. We're not going to shill for it and say, "Hey, go see Marvel's Doctor Strange," because we don't get paid to say go see Marvel's Doctor Strange. But we will go see it and we will discuss it next week. So it will be a spoiler loaded episode next week discussing Doctor Strange.
So if you haven't seen it, go watch the circus and then come back after you've seen Doctor Strange.
Don't
watch the circus.
Because go vote.
Go watch Doctor Strange.
Yes, go vote.
That's
early.
The best plan.
Vote early, vote often. And we will be back with another episode next week. And in the meantime, if you have thoughts about this episode or any other episode, you can send us a note. level1187@scififorme.com. Next week, by the way, is our 99th episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Of this show. It is the second longest running podcast that Sci-Fi for Me has done.
Wow. Yep.
So episode 99 next week. If you have thoughts on what we should be doing to celebrate episode 100, you could share those thoughts with us as well. level1187@scififorme.com, or you can leave a comment on all our social media. And that's going to do it for us this week. I want to thank our panel of experts, Catherine Sanders.
Bye.
Sam Sentman.
Thank you for having me.
Timothy Harvey.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Here in the studio, Mindy Inlow.
Have a good night.
And Maya Aides.
Good night, folks.
I'm Jason Hunt, editor here at Sci-Fi for Me. On behalf of all of us, thank you very much for listening. We will be back with another episode of Level 1187 next week.
This has been a presentation of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Copyright 2016 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.